3 years ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes. So I was about 45 years old. And in my family, almost every person on my father's side of the family has diabetes. So for me, it was never a matter of if I was going to get diabetes or being diagnosed one day. It was a matter of when. But it wasn't until I stopped eating all the junk that I realized how much junk I was eating. So I was probably eating 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day, and probably 2,000 of those calories was garbage. The most powerful thing that happened was not that I was changing my body physically, is that I was changing my mind mentally. I'll never forget, I had not been in church for quite some time, but always had that faith. I remember telling God once, like, listen, man, heal me or kill me, because I can't live this way anymore. And then boom, one day, man, just sitting at the kitchen sink, I remember washing dishes and realizing
it still hits. I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost known. And I told you so. When I throw these flows, like a stroke shimbo. And I ain't too close. It's Joe Smo goes. And I'm on my grind. That is all the time. I do not do breaks. That's right. I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask you, the boy got skills. I don't need her. I don't need him. I don't need help with me. I got this. I can sing songs. I can spit raps. And I can do both. Even do this. Word.
Support for the Honest Acts podcast comes from Montage Planning Partners. Partnerships like this make our community a better place to live and work. That's why Montage Planning Partners is proud to support the important work of Honest Acts. When it comes to financial planning, most financial companies ask, what's your salary? At Montage Planning Partners, we ask, what's your story? We know building the right financial plan means looking at more than just money. That's why we start by asking the right questions, listening to what matters most to you, then guiding you every step of the way to help you live the life you want. Now and years from now. Plan your financial story with Montage Planning Partners with Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Contact Montage Planning Partners today. Visit montageplanningpartners.com for further information and disclosures. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On The Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at FitAFNutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at FitAFNutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game.
What's up, podcast? It's Bill Corcoran Jr. here in the MPP studio. Sean Walker, welcome to the On The Stacks podcast.
Man, I am so excited. I feel like I've arrived. I feel like I've arrived, man. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have connected multiple times over, I don't even know, the last couple years. We've been kind of on and off, you know, chit-chatting here and there just about various things. But, you know, obviously we've known each other for some time, and you're doing some great things. I really enjoy being around people I feel like that I connect with, and people that really are just doing good things, and just being in the same room with, you know, high performing people, people that are just, you know, again, looking to do good things personally and professionally. And, you know, I you know, nowadays, after, you know, say like my recent health scare, just all that stuff, man, I've sort of like really recentered a lot of, you know, what I do and everything. And I just said, you know, enough of the BS anymore, and just, you know, just really focus and hone in on surrounding yourself with really good people. So I'm glad to have you here.
I appreciate that you think I'm one of those really good people. I might have a few people that would beg to differ, but
Well, we won't ask their opinion.
I feel the same. I think that this area too, one of the things I've learned through your podcast, man, this area is really flooded with some really good, cool people trying to do really good, cool things. So I'm super excited, man, to be sitting across from you talking about the stuff that, you know, that I've got going on or that we've got going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's
do it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I see you're on this new, you know, the fitness journey. You're helping some other people out. What have you been up to?
Yeah, that's kind of the latest and greatest. So 3 years ago I was diagnosed with diabetes. So I was about 45 years old, and in my family, almost every person on my father's side of the family has diabetes. So for me, it was never a matter of like if I was going to get diabetes or being diagnosed one day. It was a matter of when. I just did not expect it to be when I was 45, maybe 75. So, you know, young kids or, you know, kids growing up want to be around, want to make sure I'm healthy. And then I just decided, oh my God, I gotta figure this out. And I just immediately, out of terror, you know, cut out all the sugar and cut out all the bad carbs, not carbs, but just the bad carbs. And then I went on this learning expedition. You know, how do I make sure that I stick around for the next 30, you know, 40 years? How do I make sure that I am seeing this life through, particularly as it relates to my kids? And I was able to execute, not because I had strong willpower. I was able to execute because I was terrified. You know, fear is a great motivator.
For sure.
So I just jumped into eating right. And I'd lost 60 pounds in about 6 months.
Were you working out simultaneously?
No.
Okay, so you just started eating better.
I just started eating off. I was eating so much junk.
What were you eating?
Oh my God, dude. So you might have for dessert maybe like 3 or 4 cookies, and I have the bag. You know, I have the sleeve of Chips Ahoy.
What kind of cookies?
So I like chocolate chip, but I don't discriminate. I'll take whatever.
Whatever cookie. I'm an Oreo guy. I'm a big Oreo guy.
So I'm an Oreo guy too. I like to dunk. Yep. I like to dunk everything. And like, so like, it's nothing for me to have eaten a sleeve of cookies or go for 5 and then go back for 5 and then go back for 5.
Okay.
And we're laughing. It sounds silly, but dude, that's an incredibly dangerous way to live.
Yeah.
Especially with my family background, it's an incredibly dangerous way to live. But I suffer from depression. I suffer from some anxiety issues. And a lot of times being lazy and food, overeating, overconsumption, it's part of the coping mechanisms, you know, that I was utilizing to just kind of muscle through a day, to just survive a day. But it wasn't until I stopped eating all the junk that I realized how much junk I was eating. So I was probably eating 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day, and probably 2,000 of those calories was garbage and sugar. So when I stopped eating, I reduced my calorie intake so much that I melted weight off in the first 6 weeks, to the point where like I thought, well, do I have cancer? Like, am I?
Yeah,
like,
there's something more. But something,
is there something is else there, going
yeah,
on here?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't believe how quickly I lost this weight, and neither could anyone around me. And they're going, "There's
like, other, are you good?"
Other people are literally asking, "Hey, are you all right? Like, are you okay?" And someone, one of my clients, said, "Hey, man, you don't need to lose any more weight." And I was like, "Oh wow, do I look sick?" So, long story short, dude, that process happened, and I felt fairly comfortable losing the weight. I felt healthier indeed. And then one day I'm out at an establishment, local establishment, with my middle child, and he's 6'4", 225 pounds basketball player, and he puts his arm around me and he's looking down at me and he goes, "Dad, you're frail." And I said, "Dude, what did you just say?" Like, I looked up like, "What? Wait, what did you just call me?" And I'm very vain, and in that regard. So I said, "That's not the way I want to be represented in the world."
Yeah.
That's just not.
Especially
it.
When it comes from, you know, I think, you know, put the vain thing aside. I don't think it matters who you are. Like when you're probably your child sort of says that about you, or kind of calls you out in a way. Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, like you're going to take that very seriously, because, you know, you know, maybe some other people's opinions don't matter, but like I know I'm sure your kids, your family, your immediate family, those people's opinions to you matter.
Yeah, his does.
Yeah.
So I'm coming off this dramatic weight loss. I'm coming off this client literally just a week or two prior saying, you don't need to lose any more weight. And then my son says, Dad, you're frail. And I'm kind of feeling some kind of way about it. And we joke about it, but it was the catalyst that got me back into the gym and entered the gym that following week or the week after, I believe. Shout out to Fame Strength, Josh Mason, and the whole crew over there. That's where I work out at, and then just really got into it in a way I'd never been into it before.
Did you put weight back on, like, like muscle?
Yeah, so I went from 265 to 206, and then I did their BTC program and got up to, which stands for Body Transformation Challenge, got up to 217 in that 8-week process. But then my goal was to put on, you know, a pretty fair amount of mass, and my goal was to get up to like 230. And then now I'm sitting at about around 238. So my next journey is going to be a journey to abs. I've never had abs since I was like a teenager. So I want to go on a journey to abs. So once Labor Day comes and goes, my idea is to kind of document and journey the leaning out process. And hopefully that leaning out process leads to be a little more well-defined physique, including maybe at least a 4-pack. I don't think I can get to 6. I'm 48 years old.
Well, hey, it's still any amount is I think is an accomplishment. You know, it's so weird. You know, you say that. I literally just yesterday scrolling on Instagram. It was just some random account, I think, in like the Discover feed. I saw a crazy stat that says you're more likely to become a millionaire than to get have 6-pack abs, like statistically,
really?
Like, cause there's more people, like, yeah, statistically in, you know, in the world that are millionaires than people that actually have a defined 6-pack.
Yeah. Well,
like, when you really think about it.
And there's also stats out there that will say, if you could bench, I can't remember what the metric is, but if you bench 225, then you're in the top 1%.
Yeah.
If you can, you know, squat your weight, you're in the
right.
top
oh, yeah.
1%.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what that says about the world, because to be honest, when you're in the gym, it's not that difficult to do, mm-hmm. to hit those kinds of numbers. It's just a matter of doing it.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people lack that, though. A lot of people lack that the discipline.
Sure.
You know, and obviously it takes some serious discipline. Obviously, you know, I know, but you know, the health, the eating and that's majority of the.
That's
of,
where it all is.
That's it. It's all there. You know, working out is just a small percentage of you know, getting to that end goal. And you know, the food, obviously you've already tackled that part. Yeah. you know up front, which is way more than half the battle.
Well, you know, so I got, because I started to love it so much, I started to study it, and I wanted to really maximize what I was doing in the gym. So that means, what am I doing outside of the gym? The diet, the food, the sleep, the water, you know, all those little things that go into, you know, building, I don't even want to call it a physique, but just getting healthier, because that's really what it's all about, just getting healthier. So, you know, I started to learn like about protein synthesis and what protein to eat and how much and when you should eat it, and then so on and so forth.
And
like
portions.
All that stuff. So I really got into it. And then I started to see the growth and kind of the physical changes. But the most powerful thing that happened to me, or for me, was not that I was changing my body physically, is that I was changing my mind mentally. That working out to me, when I missed a workout, I wasn't pissed that I didn't get chest day in, or I wasn't pissed that I was glad if I missed leg day, because who likes leg day? Nobody. But I wasn't pissed off that I missed the lift. I was pissed off that I missed what it brought to me mentally, which was just kind of, I don't even know, but it's just, it's an exertion. It's a feeling.
Yeah,
it's a
clarity.
Clarity, kind of focus is the word I would use.
Yep.
So like when I'm underneath that bar, dude, there's just one goal. Get it off your chest. Like, that's it. Just get this weight moving, period. And there's just kind of like a community that we've built over there at the 5 o'clock crew. That's when I go, 5 p.m. crew at Fame. So I can't wait to see my guys. I can't wait to see the ladies that we work out with. I can't wait to be in the gym and just experience the kind of like when you walk in here. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is more than just this microphone and headset and this interview. It's the whole vibe that comes along with doing what you love to do.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of like what it was for me, man. It's just a vibe of doing what I love to do. And I happen to, you know, change physically because of it. But for me, the mental aspect is the most important aspect.
Yeah, I think that's the part that a lot of people, you know, regardless of whatever it is, you know, even if we're not talking about fitness for a minute, I think the mental side of things, like the mindset and having that right attitude and that mindset every day, like going into whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is you're trying to achieve, personally or professionally, I think that's where people really go wrong. They sort of forget about that.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things I do, so I also go into classrooms and schools and try to work with students. And one of the things that my main focus in life is to help people turn their potential into performance, period. When I was 12 years old, I was on the Myers Junior High team. I was a seventh grader. And we had practice in the cafeteria gymnasium, whatever that thing was, right? the white linoleum floor with the brown, the court was brown tape. It was awful, but that's where we played, and I loved every second of it. But we had a coach. His name was Joe Long, and Joe was all of the grand old wise age of 24 years old at the time. And we had a championship caliber team, and I can't remember if we were getting ready for the championship game or a playoff game. I can't remember, but we were like undefeated or maybe had a loss, and we're getting ready for a big playoff or championship game. And we had one of those practices where it just was awful. We're throwing the ball around. Everyone's, you know, kids are laughing, you're joking. Like, no one's taking anything seriously. We can't get anything done right. I mean, we're not even through, like, the warm-up. It's just horrible. So in Coach Long's infinite 24-year-old wisdom, he stops practice. He makes us all sit down in the corner of that gym, and he begins to talking. And I can't recall anything that he said except these words. He said, "You guys have great potential, but potential means nothing unless you reach it." And I do not know why, but as a 12-year-old kid, that just punched me right in the stomach and stuck with me for my whole. I began to live my life by that in different ways and two different degrees as I was 12 at the time. But as I got older, realizing, yeah, you know what? Potential means nothing unless you reach it.
Yeah.
So I have this clear message of how can we help people turn their potential into performance? And when I was going into classrooms with kids, mostly junior high and high school kids, one of the first things we do is we go through this process of taking an honest look, we call it. So we take an honest look, and the first step is take an honest look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we want to acknowledge all the good in your life, because first of all, most people look past that, right? We quickly identify, like I do a gratitude journal, and I'll set up two columns. And on the column left, I'll be like, my daughter's smile. My son's tucked in his bed sleeping. Good cup of coffee. Sunshine. Feel the warmth on my skin, but yet there's this cool breeze that goes along with it. Windows down, music up, right? Like all these good things. A text, a good lunch. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, basic stuff.
Basic
man.
Stuff, basic dude, stuff
that people take for granted.
That we just move right past.
Yeah, we don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it.
But unless you write it down.
Because now what I'm doing, I write it down on purpose because I see this list of like 28 things that are all good in my life. And then I go to the other column, the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff there too. There's stuff there. Whatever. Might be. Got to pay this debt. Got to get this bill done, got a call, whatever.
Eat too many cookies.
Yeah, that's on the ugly side. But yeah.
Me too.
That's on the ugly side. But then what that bill, what that allows me to do is I get to see all this good, visibly see all this good, and then see the little bad. Not that the bad doesn't exist. Not that we sweep it under the rug and ignore it. No, it does exist. It's there.
Yeah.
But man, there's so much more
good. There usually always is more good.
And always,
You know, nowadays, and this is with anybody and everything. It's just, I think everybody tends to focus on the negative because, you know, obviously, you know, whether you're talking about the news or whatever else, like the negative is really what gets more people's attention than the good stuff, which is a shame.
We're wired that way.
We are.
So neuroscience tells us, and I'm no neuroscientist, but I've read and studied and watched enough because I'm a negative thinker. I suffer from depression. I suffer from anxiety. I suffer from paranoia. So I've tried to learn as much about myself as I possibly could, and it just so happens that like my oldest son suffers through that too. So I try to learn not only for my own good, but could I better communicate, you know, and adapt to his needs.
Yeah. Does your mind, like in situations when you say like, you know, the paranoia and the depression, anxiety, like in situations, does your mind tend to go towards like, hey, worst case scenario?
Yeah. Impending doom.
Yeah. What do you do? What do you do in that situation? Like you're thinking of something, whether it's a goal you're trying to achieve, or there's an event happening in your life, whether it's an impending event or something that already happened, and you're like, okay, you're sitting there in your own thoughts, and you know, obviously, you're going to worst case scenario, right? What do you do at that point?
Yeah. So I try to breathe. Number one, I try to breathe, pray, and then once I get through that, I try to write. And put it all down on like, okay, so here's actually what's happening. Not what you think is happening is happening. Like this is what's happening.
Yeah, because a lot of times we just create these stories in our minds. Right?
Yeah, I did it this morning. So it's funny, like I love being here. I'm super excited to be here, but it also on one hand terrifies me.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So I'm anxious, like, oh, maybe he'll text me and say, oh, hey, we got to postpone for today. And I've been like, yes.
And you've been waiting for, yeah, like, oh, like, as much as I want to do it, but at the same time, I want to postpone it because I'm a little nervous.
I'm off the, right. When I used to go into the kids' classrooms, I used to be like, oh, my God, maybe I'll get a message from the principal.
Saying, maybe it'll be a snow day.
It's a bad day today. And it's so funny because it's the one thing that I love to do, but it also, right?
Isn't it paradoxical?
It's so weird.
Isn't it?
It's so, I can't. Like I don't think I'll ever fully understand it, but I just need to know enough in order to continue to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, I feel like I could very much relate because I have a lot of the same tendencies too. Like you know, always thinking like a worst case scenario, then you get paranoid. And now you're making up stories in your head as to like why it's not going to happen or why it shouldn't happen. Yeah. And it's really most times than not, probably 98% of it's all just made up.
Yeah, you ever have a conversation with yourself that you're having like with someone else, but with yourself?
Yes.
In your head.
And so I'm not the only one that does that.
No, dude. I'm on my walk this morning and I'm doing that. And I'm thinking to myself, I just said, dude, stop. Stop. Like, this is not real.
Mm.
Like, stop. It's not real. Mm-hmm. You know, breathe in, kind of get my thoughts. I'm a faith guy, so try to put my faith first. And I walk by faith, not by sight. So just like, yeah, this is a real problem, but you're going to really deal with it. Don't worry about it. Like, just you've got a great day ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Go live that great day.
Yeah. One of the things I just saw recently, it was another thing on Instagram too. I was just, you know, scrolling. It was a video and I actually, believe it or not, I think it was a pastor of some sort out, no one local, just someone, you know, I think probably somewhat famous, what he was saying, like the message behind it was just, you know, to combat like the procrastination and all that. And he's like, is just do it now.
Yeah.
And he said, when you wake up, just keep telling yourself, just repeat that back to yourself like 10 times, do it now. Like if you need to make that phone call, just do it now.
Yeah.
Like, and just keep telling yourself, do it now. And then just do it. And then it's over. You did it, right? I know it sounds so ridiculous and simple. But
it's not ridiculous. The last 2 days, I had two things I needed to do that I was in my like fight, flight, or freeze phase. And I was in a freeze phase where I just couldn't do it. Like I just couldn't get myself to do it.
I know the feeling.
And then yesterday, I did the Mel Robbins technique. You ever hear Mel Robbins?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I did
love Mel Robbins.
I did the 5-4-3-2-1. So okay. I just was laying there, and I'm like, all right, dude, here we go. 5-4-3-2-1, and up.
Yep.
And I had to do the same thing today. 5-4-3-2-1. Let's go. Right. And then I laugh at myself because the activity that needed to be done, A, took about 15 minutes. and B, wasn't that bad at all. And yet I let that occupy so much of my brain space for weeks and months and sleepless nights.
It's crazy how we do that to ourselves, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, but it's how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to learn how to rewire my brain. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but
you're on the path.
But I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to go. But yeah, so we look at the good, because what I want to do is like tell the kids, all right, first of all, you might think life sucks. You might think life is bad all of the time, but let's look at it. What's the good? And I have them go through the exercise, write it down. And then we get to the bad. That stuff, like maybe you got a test, maybe, you know, you got to study, you know, maybe your friend, you know, kind of ignored you on Facebook, I'm talking about kids, TikTok, Insta, whatever it is. And then we talk about the ugly. And the ugly is where I get them. And the ugly is where I get most people. Because the ugly is my depression. The ugly is my anxiety. The ugly is that paranoia. And when I tell, because I'll tell the kids, I'm going to lead the way here. I'm going to share with you what my ugly is. And dude, when I say that word depression and that word anxiety, every eye is locked in. Because they're all feeling some form of that, sadly.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah.
But tying it into mindset, we acknowledge that depression. It's there. We acknowledge that anxiety. It's there. But now what are we going to do about all of it? What are we going to do about the good, bad, and the ugly? And that's where mindset comes in, because you either have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. So you're either going to have a fixed mindset that says, this is my life. This is as good as it's ever going to be. I'm never going to get any better. I'm going to always suck at math. I'm going to always drive this hoopty car. I'm never, ever, ever going to get out of my parents' house or whatever. This is it. And then there's a growth mindset that basically says things can change over time with energy and effort. And so we try to almost immediately get them to shift from fixed to growth mindset. And now once we get that, we can move forward. We can set some goals and take some action.
Yeah. And I really believe, the word energy, you can feel it. I could feel it right now in the room. And it's kind of right when we first started, I said something similar. And maybe that's kind of maybe what I was also trying to get at was being in the same room with people who have, I'll say, similar type energy. And when you're putting out that good energy and those good vibes, right, that we were saying, it attracts those similar, same type of people.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, it's as simple as that. The universe, literally works off of energy. When you're really, again, I'm no scientist, but, just doing a little bit of my own research, in terms of energy and being attracted to, other people that have the same and similar energies, whether good or bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could easily get attracted to the bad energies and just,
Well, what did I say? You're the average of the
five
people you hang around the most, or something like that, right? So let me ask you a question. Do you, being where you are now, right? Was there part of this podcast journey, was part of the reason wanting to be around that kind of energy?
Yeah, honestly, I'm of the growth mindset, myself, where I'm always looking to grow. I'm always looking to do better. And, I'm a very positive person, not that I don't have bad things going on in my life. We all do. But I tend to focus on the good things, the good energy, surround myself with people that I want to be around.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. So, this for me, honestly, part of it, I'll even just maybe even back up a little bit more. When, first started doing this podcast, I think I subconsciously, before I decided one day, hey, I don't want to do the printing thing anymore. And, I was just doing the podcast thing. And it was just kind of I was just curious, right? And it was just okay, hey, this is fun. This is cool. Not much to it because it was real basic in the beginning. And, I think part of it, as I started going and started hearing people, like you come on the show and just kind of share their journeys, good and bad, talking about their entrepreneurial journey, what's possible, what's not. And just all those different things. And, sort of once I started really experiencing, and just having one-on-one conversations like this that are really, deep and meaningful conversations. We're not just here bullshitting, it's intentional,
right.
We're having a real conversation. We're talking about it. We're doing it on purpose. It's about purpose, all that. And I think at some point, again, before I even realized it, I was subconsciously building a company that was essentially my way out of my job.
Yep.
And it didn't register until a certain point. And then at a certain point I sat back and looked around and looked at myself from afar, right. And said wait a second. Okay. I might be onto something here. And, I think this whole time, you know, I think for part of it was I was also struggling to admit to myself before I'd admit to anyone else. I was struggling to admit that I didn't want to do that anymore. Mm. You know, like it was a great job, right? Great opportunity, made good money.
Yep.
You know, from the outside looking in, everybody probably thought Bill's got it made.
Yep.
He's set for life.
So glad you said that.
That whole, you know what I mean? I'll say there's also been like, the, you know, in my opinion of what other people think is that, you know, they probably look at me like, oh, everything's given to him. Oh, he's got a good cushy job, blah, blah, blah. But no one saw that the 12 years of hard work that I did behind the scenes, right? People only see you for where you're at now. They don't see where you were.
The overnight success that took 20 years to make, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It's a long night.
So like I kind of had like a lot of that going on, you know? But again, I think, you know, subconsciously I was essentially building a way out. But then, like I said, what I was really struggling with at some point was finally admitting and saying out loud, like, I don't want to do that anymore. Meaning the printing, and then saying like, I want to do this podcast thing.
So glad you said that. You said something to the effect of, like a lot of people would say, "Hey, look at cushy job.
He's got it made.
He's got it made instead of the other.
Yeah, must be nice.
Must be nice.
That kind of thing."
So, I struggle with that as well. Not because, you know, my father owned a business and people would assume like, oh, whatever, you just jump right in there. Not because of that. Because I've been fairly successful in my life professionally. By day, I'm a professional salesperson. That's what I do. I've been in the sales industry, selling in the industrial supply. We call it the MRO industry. I don't know, for 20 years plus now, which I can't even believe that I can say that. I used to hear other people say that and go, whoa, and now I'm that guy.
Yeah, don't date yourself here,
like,
Sean.
Ooh, man. So, but like on paper, you know, there's the good salary. You know, on paper, there's the yearly bonuses, you know, on paper, you know, there's, you know, the title of the job, and then there's the travel that goes along with, and then there's the conferences and the fancy dinners, you know, there's the, you know, the pool in the side yard and the vinyl fence and this, that, and the other. And it all looks great
from the outside.
It all looks great on the outside. And guess what? It was pretty good on the outside. The problem was I was dying on the inside. That was the problem.
Yeah.
And I used to struggle, dude, because I wanted more. And I used to drive around my little friggin' my Ford Freestar minivan, which is another story for another day. I got angry. The day I had to buy a minivan, dude, was one of the worst days of my life. And I realized, now I'm that guy.
I'm the minivan guy.
Yeah, I'm the minivan guy. So I'm rocking my Ford Freestar minivan up and down the highways and byways of this great state. And the whole time I'm saying to myself, there's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah, like, what am I doing?
There's got to be more to life than this. Good salary, bonuses. And listen, man, I live in an 1,800 square foot house in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. It looks like everybody else's house. It cost me $82,000, brother. Like, I'm not living large.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just told you I was rocking a Freestar. Like, my most cool car was a Volkswagen CC. Like, I was never living large. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But on paper, everything looked
like
great.
Had it all.
I had it all.
Yep.
I had it all. But on the inside, bro, dying on the inside. And I struggled to share that with friends and family. Because they also thought that it looked like I had it all. And what's wrong with you? Like, my fear was they're going to say, like, what's wrong with you?
Why? Like, what the hell's the wrong? Like, what's the matter? Yeah, why are you doing that? Like,
you got all this. Yeah, like, I'd kill to have
some
of that. What's wrong with you? And I'm looking at it going, I don't know. Now I'm like, I don't know. Maybe something is wrong with me then.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived with that for years. Like, something must be wrong with me if all of this basic necessity stuff that I have is not enough. And dude, it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I realized nothing's wrong with me. I'm just built a little bit differently. God just wired me in a different way. And
yeah, to always want more.
To always want more. Not more for the sake of driving around with rims.
Right.
And sitting out on a yacht and
hanging
out at the beach all day. I just want more out of life. And it goes back to potential.
Yeah, 100%, man.
Right? It goes back to living up to your own potential. And why I was miserable why I was dying on the inside is because I really never reached my own personal potential. Just felt like I had more to offer, more to give, more ways I can make an impact, more ways I could help. And that's why I've spent my life trying to help, dude, just being the pastor guy and the minister guy and the community guy, and then doing the local politics thing, being on the school board and just trying.
Yeah, trying to better anything and everything around you.
Trying to. Sometimes at the sake of my own self and family.
100%.
Because they get the scraps of who you are versus the most of who you are.
Right.
But yeah, so it just kind of all tied back into this, like, I'm miserable because I haven't reached my own potential. Now, what am I now at age 40, fixed mindset, growth mindset, is this it? So, like, I've spent the last 6, 7, 8 years, I'm 48 years old now, trying to move into this
trying
area.
Trying to shift,
trying to move into this area of life. And the problem with that is I'm not young like you are, and the generation that you come from. And so this technology and microphones and cameras everywhere, like it's all, like it's foreign.
It's a little intimidating.
It's intimidating. How am I going to ever get this done?
Mm-hmm.
But we're making an effort, dude, because potential means nothing unless you reach it. And I'm determined to reach it for myself. Because then if I reach mine, other people will reach theirs because I've reached mine. I said this to Josh Mason when I was on his podcast. I told him, I said, your life's journey has led you to this point to care about fitness and people's health and their lives and to open up these gyms. And because you've reached your potential, I'm now able to reach mine. Like, because you've done what you've done has opened up doors now to people like me to come in and transform their health, bodies, and mental state of being. If where would I be if you weren't here, right? And so I started thinking about like how all of us, if we just get to the place we're supposed to be, we're going to just help other people get to the places they're supposed to be. And then those people will help other people get to the places they're supposed to be. And then so on and so on and so on and so on. Like I just, so yeah, I think that, and it all starts with a mindset. It all starts with an energy to go be around people that are doing it. Because I often struggle with, like, so who do I hang out with? Where do I go? You know, who do I talk to? Who could I connect with, you know, to try to figure out the next step? And then when I'm broken, when I'm hurting, when I'm struggling, when I don't know what to do next, when I don't, you know, who's going to help me solve this problem, because no one in my circle knows how to solve it, but someone does because it's being solved every day, but I just don't have that connection. So yeah, I think that circle of kind of like energy means so much to people who are trying to, you know, be the best version of themselves, man, because it takes a village still.
Yeah. And you kind of touched on it a little bit and said it, I'm going to kind of echo, is like, you really, you know, talking about like reaching your full potential, like you have to be able to help yourself first to be able to then help others, you know? And I think as a guy like you, and I feel like you and I are very much alike in a lot of ways, which is, it's like scary, but you know, I mean, a bad way. But, you know, we have the tendency to help everyone else.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessnepa. All On the Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before.
They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com.
And now we're back on the stacks.
And then if we have time, then maybe we help ourselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, it sounds like you've lived your life a lot that way. I have as well. I think I have a lot of empathy for people. And I can empathize with people so much that, you know, I think because I have that trait, it makes me want to help people. And, you know, in any situation, small, big, it doesn't even matter. It's just like, man, I empathize with that. Like, I just want to like help that person somehow, some way. And usually, unfortunately, sometimes at the cost of our own, you know, physical or mental health. And it sounds like, you know, you've kind of, you know, lived, you know, that same way a lot of your life. And, you know, again, not that it's not a great thing. It's not a horrible thing, but, you know, it's, again, you're not fully helping yourself and reaching your full potential. And I think sometimes we need to take that step back. And as much as we want to help that other person, I think there comes a point in all of our lives, and it sounds like you've already reached it, and I feel like I have too, or at least pretty close to it, where, you know, I had to take a step back and say, like, you know what, I got to put myself first, and I got to help myself first, and take control of me, and help me, and then once I'm, you know, 100% or pretty darn close, then I could really help others get there too.
Yeah, so I would agree with that, like 1,000 gazillion percent, because it wasn't until I got, I guess maybe in my early 40s, life hit kind of hard. That's when I first started to learn the word no. Can you show up for this? No. Can you come and speak here? No. Like, no.
That's the hardest thing to do, is say no.
It's the hardest for people like us.
Oh, dude, I say yes to everything.
Because you need me to, what? It's,
yep, I'll be there.
You want me to come, and I haven't been home all week, and my wife's barely seen me, but yeah, sure, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And my poor, you know, wife and family, I mean, my kids kind of like just knew it as, this is what dad does, so I don't think they really,
know
the difference. But I really started to say no, like in my late 30s, early 40s.
What was that like?
Well, it caused me more anxiety.
Hmm.
Like,
because then you feel guilty about
it. I feel guilty,
not doing
and I feel
it.
Like, oh, so what are they saying now that I said no? You know,
they think,
like,
I'm a bad person.
Yep, all that stuff. All that stuff.
Am I not capable?
Yep.
You know, you start to immediately, of course, go right to worst case scenario and think like, oh, they probably just think I'm a bad person.
They just think I'm a bad person.
What are all the bad things they're saying about
me? They're saying all horrible things about me, so on and so forth, right?
Like, the guy couldn't even show up.
Yeah. Who does he think he is?
Yeah. He used to be here.
Yeah.
Was he too good for us?
Exactly.
Now, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And stuff like that. When really it was just a you know what? Really, it was a result of, it was a result of me being stuck at a light on the way home from, I think, Starbucks or something like, or Barnes & Noble with my son in the back seat. And he's talking to me, blah, 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 blah. You know, I was like an 8 or 9 or 10 year old just talking to me. And we get to a light and I'm sitting there and he says, Dad. And I said, yeah. He said, what did I just say?
And you're like, oh, shit.
I have no idea. I have no idea what you just said. So I'm not paying any attention to you at all. My mind is gone.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking about 30 other different things, and none of them have to do
with that,
with you.
Yeah.
And whatever you were just telling me about as a 10-year-old. So when he called me out on that, I'll never forget being like, that's it. I'm done. From now on, knows a word I've got to learn and utilize in my life, because this kid doesn't deserve my no.
You know?
No. So it took me a long time, and now I'm comfortable with it. Now I don't really care.
I love it.
Yeah, now I'm just totally selfish. I don't really care. I'll tell you no.
You got to be selfish.
Yeah, because when I get to the point that I can tell you yes, that yes will be better.
You'll show up 10 times better than if I did. Than you were before.
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, with all of this and everything, and this is, you know, kind of like a bigger picture thing, but, you know, you touched on it a little bit. How has, like, your faith, you know, take me back a little bit. How, like, you know, obviously, you know, this has been a big part of, you know, faith has been a huge part of your life for, big. You know, most or probably more, almost all your life, right? Yeah. So, like, what role does that play? Like, you know, how did it start? Where did it start? And how has it shaped you?
So it started because I grew up in a Christian family. I mean, it just started like a lot of people's faith journeys start, where it's just what I do. Mm-hmm. So Sunday morning, and I'm an infant, toddler, young child, kid, teenager, it didn't matter. It's Sunday morning, and it's time for church, period, bottom line. You know, we had church clothes. You know, back in the day, you had like church clothes and church shoes. And like, I remember, you know, you'd put on your church outfit, and then the second you got home from church, you were out of that outfit. It was hung back up in the closet. It was like, oh.
Pristine, yeah. Yes.
So you had your church clothes. Church was just a thing you were going to do. I started to find faith, though, probably around like age 10, 11, 12, where it was less about church and more about having a faith or a relationship with, you know, God or some higher power.
That's what I'm like very interested in, because I feel like nowadays a lot of, you know, I'll say like the going to church, I think has, you know, and you could probably speak on this too, has died down a lot.
A lot.
Like the younger generations, and I don't know if it's my generation, maybe a little bit more so, my generation and you know, younger than me. I feel like, you know, it's become sort of a thing of the past. However, then there's the faith part, where this is where, and I'll kind of let you take it from here, but people maybe just be maybe more spiritual and have a faith, but maybe necessarily don't really attend, you know, a regular service.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things at play. Different parts of the country are different, are very different as it relates to, I would say, faith or religion or church, what have you. But the northeastern part of the country is in like nearing or in a post-Christian kind of era, to where it's not what it used to be, and probably not even close. But to get back to your faith question, you know, so I don't even know how it happened, but it happened, and I started to really have a different kind of faith than, and I just went to church today and I checked that box off. God, or conversations with God, or we'd call that prayer, became something that I looked forward to doing and wanted to do. And it had nothing to do with me sitting in a pew somewhere. It had everything to do with me living my life as a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kid, and just kind of taking that conversation, those issues, those concerns, to God in the form of what I would call, you know, a conversation, but it's prayer. And through those experiences, and then the results coming out of those experiences, I realized, okay, there's more to this than just I went to church and sang in the choir, that there is a connection here. And I felt it, and then felt like I needed more of it. And around that time in my life, around 18, 19 years old, is when the depression really came in and the anxiety really came in. And it really challenged everything I had to stay alive, right? And I'll never forget, I had not been in church for quite some time, but always had that faith. And because I mean, I remember telling God once, like, hey, listen, man, either heal me or kill me, because I can't live this way anymore. Like, I can't do this anymore. So you gotta help me, or just end it for me. Cause I can't do this. And then boom, one day, man, just sitting at the kitchen sink, I remember washing dishes and realizing, without even realizing it, like, man, you've been okay. Like, there was no cloud of smoke. There was no rolling thunder. You know, there was no bright, shining light. It was just me at the sink in my apartment on North Pennsylvania Avenue. And I realized, oh, dude, you've been okay. And I thought, answered prayer. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it has, like, there was no, like, you know, elaborate sermon from on high. You know, there was no choir in the background. Dude, it was just this experience with God that I had. So to me, you know, faith's been everything, you know, for me. And my faith has been challenged too, because there's some serious issues that we contend with. And sometimes I wonder, like, well, why, dude, why? Like, does this have to happen to me? Do I have to go through, like, even with a depression? Like, you know how many times I've prayed for it to just, quote, go away?
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're God, you're all powerful and mighty.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Why can't you?
Yeah, why is it still here?
Why can't you just take this away from me? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not how life works. So God's not a magician, right? He's not like your
He's not going to just wave the magic wand.
Yeah, he doesn't wave the magic wand. He's given you the strength to work through. He's given you the faith and the hope to work through. But life is going to happen.
Do you think that God puts you in these positions to sort of make you stronger, test you? You know, prepare you for something that's going
to
come.
God doesn't
after?
Need to test me, man. God knows the answer. God knows how I'm going to fail that test already. You know why the tests come? The tests don't come for God. The tests come for you. The tests come for you to learn where you're at. He already knows you're going to fail the test before you get it.
Mm.
Yeah, he's going to fail it. But he doesn't know he's going to fail it. We need to make sure that he understands this part about himself so that he can continue on his path and his journey and become the best version of himself. So, yeah, I'm going to let this happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let this happen. And the more hard-headed he becomes, maybe the more stuff I got to let happen.
The harder that gets.
The harder it gets, because I love him so much, I'm not going to let him go. So if I have to allow, because we don't learn things from how good things are,
right? We learn from the bad.
We learn from how bad things
the
are.
The bad
right?
times, yeah.
Right. So I don't want this to happen, but if I have to let this happen, so that Bill or Sean can continue to grow and be the best version of themselves, that they could continue to help the people that are around them, then yeah, I'll do that. Ultimately, I'll let that happen so that my will is done. So that's kind of how I see my struggles and my suffering.
Wow, that's I love that. I love hearing, like, you know, you explain it, like, you know, from a personal situation. And so, like, with the depression, like, you know, in those moments where you're like, God, why can't this just go away? Like, what happened after that? Like, were there any certain instances? Like, how did you feel? What was it?
Well, in that original moment, so I was suicidal at that time. I had suicidal thoughts at that time. And I was on the road, and I would always consider just, I would see oncoming traffic on the other side of the highway and go, Like, that was my iteration. That was kind of the thought that I had. And then that's what led me to, it scared me, you know, that I would have these thoughts. And
yeah, I even thought about that.
Correct. And what kept me here was two things. One, fear of God. Like, I don't want to face my maker in because of that. And then my kids. And at the time, it was just one. It was just my oldest. And I didn't have a problem leaving anyone else behind. Parents, you know, my wife. I didn't have a problem leaving anyone else behind. But it was unfair to me to leave my child behind. So that's when I went to God saying, listen, you gotta kill me. Like, please, like, you got to save me or kill me, one or the other. And in that moment, when I was sitting at that kitchen sink and I realized, oh, you've been okay, it was through a period of time. So I just had this kind of understanding, like, well, all right, so things can be okay. And then what I learned from that in every instance forward was nothing's killed me yet. Like, as bad as it's been, nothing's taken me out. Which means that God's sovereign rule still applies to my life. No matter how bad it gets, it's not that thing that's going to take me out of here. It's not that issue that's going to make me, you know, take me out of here. It's not that circumstance or situation. It's not my time. So keep going. And that's kind of what I've learned. Like Paul in the Bible, he's got this thorn in his side, they said, or he said, and he prayed three times that it would be removed, and God said no. And Paul said, well, then good. I'd rather have this issue that I have and have this great relationship with God than have the issue gone and have no relationship.
Mm.
So I kind of look at it like that. Like if I have to have depression and anxiety in order to have that relationship with God and be able to do the things that I do and say the things that I say and give the messages that I give that might help somebody else.
Learn to deal with it and work through it.
So then I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. If my life could be of greater impact and service because of it, then so
be it.
That's
an interesting way to put it.
Then I'll take it. Then I'll do that then.
Never really thought about it that way.
Yep. That's the way I look at it. Like, so my struggles, my suffering, you know, it's part of who I am. It's never going to go away. And that's okay. That's okay. Cause it hasn't stopped me, you know, it hasn't stopped me yet and it won't. And if I could utilize that to create, you know, so that something comes from it that might help somebody else. Cause that's the other thing I do. I talk about it all the time. Like I'm not ashamed. I'll talk about it from the pulpit. I'll talk about it in front of the kids. I don't care. I'm not ashamed to talk about being depressed. You know, I'm not ashamed to talk about how difficult it was to get out of bed in the morning and how I couldn't sleep all night. I'm not ashamed to talk about any of that stuff. I'll tell anyone and everyone, yeah, I'm broken. I know the guy you see and the image that comes along with it, but I'm a broken dude. And here's what I struggle to get out of bed this morning, right? Like I'm not afraid to tell people that because I know that other people are going through the same thing and they're like, oh my God. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to share it all, and so they could see that. And here we are going through it, but here we are like moving through it too, like not just surviving it.
Yeah,
but like
you're working through it.
Working through it, and out of that work will come like you know blessings and prosperity. That's just the way I've looked at it.
And your full potential.
And your full potential, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love the messaging behind it, and I think it's one of those things. You know, like you said, like I think a lot of people think like, oh, like, you know, one day I'll be better, one day I'll be cured, one day it'll go away. And I never really actually heard it the way that you put it. I've never really thought about it that way. I've never really heard anyone say it that way. Like, hey, I'm just constantly, it's a constant work in progress,
fighting it all the time.
Just a constant work in progress. But like you said, but because it's still there, it continually keeps you...
Pushes me.
Yeah, it pushes you and it keeps the open line of communication.
Yeah, it just pushes me and pushes me and pushes me because every day is a fight. Like every day is a battle, right? So you're battle tested. I'm battle tested every day.
Yeah.
Like, so when I get into situations where I've got to, you know, be on your show or be up on a stage, I have a microphone in my hand, I'm like, this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
what was hard was... Getting out of bed this morning was hard.
Mm-hmm. But once you make that first step, then you're off to the races, right?
This stuff is easy. Yeah. So, in a weird way, I'm thankful for it because I couldn't be who I am without it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad for like what God has been able to do in and then through my life in terms of how it's, you know, helped people along the way. I've been preaching for 20 years and it's the single one thing that I love to do out of all the things that I do is to stand up on a Sunday morning or stand up with a microphone in my hand somewhere and start communicating, start talking, start trying to speak life into someone else's life. Like what you do, like, we're going to church today. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? We're not, there's no stained glass and no pews and no organ. But what you do, you speak life into the lives of the people that are listening to you. That's why we listen to you, right? That's why we tune into this podcast. That's why we want to hear what Bill Corcoran and his guests have to say. So, so if all that led me to sit here with you, then guess what? Cool. I'm thankful for it all.
100%. And I also think too, it's also like a mini, I'm an unlicensed therapist. I joke all the time too. I'm an unlicensed therapist, but I don't get paid like one.
No.
I have to beg for sponsors, unlike a therapist, but like a lot of this too. And back to like when you asked me, you're like, hey, like in the beginning, like remember you were asking about that, like, you know, like, oh, like what were you trying to do and figure out and all that. And, part of it too, again, like it's I've had so many conversations now with people of all walks of life that you know, it's taught me so much. It's taught me about me. You know, I've learned about so many different people's stories, industries, just everything, like literally everything under the sun. I feel like, you know, I'm sure there's obviously more, there's way more to be had still, but at the same time, like it that eventually, like, the show became similar to what you're saying. And it's a really cool parallel that you just drew with it, you know, being like a church, like a service. Like, you know, this is like week in and week out. It's like, I'll give you one example. Back in, it was just about a year or so ago. So my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and oh. I had a guest, I had two guests that came in. It was not long after, and I think, you know, I put something on Facebook, and it was public, and but I didn't really take much time off in the very beginning. And I remember like one of the guests texted me, like, they were supposed to come in like a day or two, and they're like, hey, we saw the news, I'm so sorry, like, you know, if you want to reschedule, blah blah. And I was like, nah, I don't want to reschedule. And like, are you sure?
Because,
like,
you needed it.
Yeah. And they're like, no. And then, you know, that was in the kind of text, right? Yep. And then when they got here, I don't know if it was before or maybe right after, he said to me, he's like, you know, like, hey, like, this, you know, you still, thanks for still coming to do this. Obviously, we could have rescheduled and all would have worked out, no big deal. But he was like, you know, like, that you're going through a lot right now, and the fact that you still did it, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this, I think, is what keeps me going.
Yeah, you needed the therapy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, physician, heal thyself. Like, it's, yeah, like you needed therapy too. Like, so, yeah,
right.
So when I'm preaching, man, I'm preaching to myself.
Essentially.
You know what I mean? I'm preaching, yeah, to other people, but I've learned the lesson first myself, like, yeah, throughout the months or the weeks that have led up to that more particular Sunday or, mm-hmm, and I don't even want to, like, equate it to just on a Sunday morning, because I feel like that kind of communication I do on the daily, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And whether that's a Facebook post or an Instagram post, you know, the stuff that I'm getting to now around the fitness stuff, or whether it was the students, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all the same.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, it's all the same. It's all, yeah, about speaking life. And then, but that life was first given to me, and now I feel like the responsibility to share it with others. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I'm in a situation where I get to speak and communicate, it's like therapy for me too.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and it's so strange how, like, even like, how often I find that we are living parallel lives. Like, the things that you're feeling and going through are the same things I'm feeling and going through. It might be A, B, and C for you, but, mm-hmm, for me it's X, Y, and Z.
Yeah,
but
it's the same thing, just in a different lane.
Just a different, right. It's, yeah, the same. You know, you had Bree Majikis on, yeah, here.
Yeah, shout out to Bree. I love Bree.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I remember listening to her story going, oh my, so much of it resonated,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh my God. And then looking at, and again, on paper.
Yeah, like, look, hey. Yeah.
On paper,
yeah,
you'd look at her and go,
she's killing it.
Get out of here.
Yeah, like, no, come on. No way. Yeah, like, are you serious?
Is she going through this kind of stuff? But that's why I like to share. That's why I like to talk about it. That's why I like these kind of environments. And you know, you're talking about podcasting. I want to have these kind of similar conversations, right? Because, mm-hmm, that's all it's about. Like, I have this idea about like this philosophy that I have, that take an honest look. So I want a podcast called Let's Take a Look. And I just want to dive deep down, mm-hmm, into like all these core issues and just get it all exposed and out on the table for people to start picking apart and dealing with. You,
yeah,
know what I mean? And not feeling so alone all the time.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's just become like such a big, like, you know, it's funny, a lot of times, you know, after one of these episodes and like sometimes, like, I'll finish a recording and the guests will be like, "Ooh, man, I feel good after that." Yeah. Like,
you got a workout in.
Yeah, it was like a mental workout. And they're like, "I feel so much better now that I got that off my chest." Like, I was able to say the things, and, like, you know, I can't tell you how many people said, like, "Hey, like, thanks for giving me the platform."
Yeah,
you know, and, like, you know, obviously, when I hear things like that, it makes it all worth it. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like, wow, like think about the impact that. First of all, like, you know, the guests saying that, you know, again, now these episodes are usually a few weeks behind before they release. But, like, as soon as we finish and a guest says that to me, like, I get like it's like an instant, like, impact that I'm like, wow, like, it's like that was we made something great came out of that. And, yes, nobody even heard it yet. Nobody even saw it, yes, but me.
But you got to experience it.
Yeah, but I got to experience it and see the, I'll say, like, the relief or the happiness or whatever it is that they felt and they're feeling and they expressed that to me either during the show and or after, like, hey, whew, that was, like, amazing. Like, wow. Like, oh my, I feel like, and people have made a comment before. I feel like I just left a therapy session.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's, I just did the rock back thing.
Yeah,
I came back to it. I remember it, fist away. But no, I mean, even like in talking, like when I start talking about depression, like, I don't share that story often. It's a time in my life I do not like to remember. But when I get truthful about depression, it does get super emotional because it's there all the time. And when I think about the way that I live my life on the day to day, and everything that I've got to, like every day that I wake up, here's my first breath is this. Every day. Now, that could be on a day I've got a huge presentation to do and I got millions of dollars on the line, contracts. Or that could be a day I'm on vacation, getting ready to go to the beach in Puerto Rico. Because it doesn't matter what the day holds. It's there all of the time.
Yeah, no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter where you are, no matter how good it is, no matter how bad it is.
Doesn't matter.
Still, yeah.
That took a long time for me to learn. Once I began to understand that it's not, oh, you have this task ahead of you, so that's why you're down, or, oh, this didn't happen for you, so that's why. Once I learned that it was just a constant, now I've got to figure out how am I going to continue to live my life every day.
With that.
With that.
Yeah.
And that's when we started talking about like the faith thing and understanding why it's there in the first place. You know, in order to get oil out of an olive, you got to crush it. Like the good part of it doesn't come out. What you use, what can be used doesn't come out unless it gets absolutely
annihilated.
Crushed.
Yeah.
So crush me. You know what I mean? So crush me. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. I wish it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was another way, but no problem. Let's just continue to grow and continue to grind. I'm 48 years old. The way I look at it is I got like 40 years left, I hope. And that's why I'm in the gym and trying to be fit and trying to be I want to be as fit and functional and moving for as long as I possibly can, because I just feel like there's so much more yet to live and to give.
100%, man. 100%. And I think, you know, a lot of people just get so complacent and just say, screw it, and then just live this complacent,
settle,
boring life, and it's like soul crushing.
And settle. Well, that's why I'm trying to focus, like with the gym stuff, I'm trying to focus on 40 plus year old men, right? And and the truth is, it's not just so they could get jacked.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, the truth is because I want
you lived it.
Correct.
And you know where they're at because
right.
You've been there.
I've been there.
And you've been there, and you want to take those people and show them like, hey, this is what it's like on the other side,
right.
and let's do this together.
Right. Let's do this together. And yes, you'll look a little better in a t-shirt maybe in six months from now.
Yep.
But that's not the point.
Right. It's all the other stuff.
It's all the other stuff that comes alongside
it. The six pack is just the bonus.
That's just the bonus, but it's what it takes to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the discipline. It's the accountability. It's the hard work. It's the effort. It's the energy. It's the community. It's the holding, right? It's all of that that you get along with it. And yeah, you look pretty good in a t-shirt, but that's like.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's down the line.
That's not why you're doing
it. That's not why
we're
doing
it. It's like, that's cool too.
It's pretty cool.
It'll make you feel great.
It'll make you feel really good when we get there.
Yeah.
But that's not the reason. The reason is I know these 40-plus-year-old men are in a point. So I mean, I went through one of the worst midlife crises that maybe ever existed, I think. You know what I mean? Like mentally, I'm 46, 47 years old. My two youngest kids go to college one right after the other. It's 1 year and then the very next year. My middle son was like my best friend. You know, he was a basketball player. I'm a basketball junkie. We spent hours upon hours upon hours of time together in the gym, you know, around the game, so on and so forth. And he was like my best friend, like as a 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid. So when he left, I felt like, oh my God.
Now what?
Now what?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday? Because I used to be in
the
gym getting shots up. So now what am I doing? So that was crazy. Then my daughter left, and she was like an extension of me in the house. She was like my right hand. Like not even my wife was that. Like she was. Like if I needed something done in the house, and
went to her.
I went to call, called Lael. Like Lael, I need, or Lael, can you? And so she was like my extension. So when I lost her, I kind of felt like I lost my extension. I lost a part of me.
Yeah.
And you know, my oldest is always a constant in our lives, but, you know, he suffers like I do from depression. And so that's a whole different, you know, anxiety and relationship that we're trying to press through as well. But during that time, I'm looking at, you know, him who I want to have better and just live the life that he's meant to live. Then I have my best friend gone and my right hand gone. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So the first thing I did was get a bunch of tattoos.
Me too. Look at, I got the whole arm. This was all done in the last 12 months.
Yeah, I got, yeah. So that's kind of like me. I had nothing. And then, you know, 12 months later, I had
sleeve. It's therapeutic.
It is therapeutic. Yeah.
It is.
And then I filled my time with some not so great stuff. Which was taking away from me ever reaching my potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I've learned is like, that can happen, or you can just say, you know, F it. I'm just going to settle here and sit here and watch Netflix. What are we watching tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we got on tonight? What kind of, you know, what are we watching? What's going to hold our attention for the next couple of hours?
Get us through to tomorrow.
Like, what, and how many more episodes of Naked and Afraid can we watch?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're into right now.
Right, that's the flavor of the week.
That is the flavor of the week. My wife found Naked and Afraid, and we've been binge-watching that for the majority of the summer. We're at the point where we think we could probably
like
survive
the
wilderness.
You're to the point now where it's like, you're like, hey, honey, I think we could do this, right?
Well, like, we're walking, like, we'll go for a walk or, like, a hike, and we'll be like, oh, look at that. There's, and I'm like, what are we, come on. But, yeah, so...
That's great.
So we are a survivalist, at least in our own mind. By proxy. But so I went through this midlife crisis and I ended up filling my time with not so great stuff, which then put me in another mental challenge.
Yeah.
Asking questions about who are you really and what does this whole potential thing really mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like what? So does it really mean something to you? And if it does, what are you doing about that?
Right.
And then we kind of just circled it all back. You know, circle it all back and try to put one foot in front of the other again. And here we are.
That's it, man. It's really not as complicated, I think, as everybody overthinks it. Because it's we all overthink it. We overthink everything. And it's really, you know, like fear, all that. It's all made up. Like most of all of that is just, it's just made up in our own minds, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, we got to figure out a way to live through it and work through it and not just distract ourselves with the Netflixes and the, you know, all the other things,
the
cookies
and
whatever else, you know, whether it's alcohol,
have you ever heard
anything.
This saying? Have you ever heard that it's simple, but just not easy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the process of getting healthy, the process of losing weight, the process of putting muscle on, the process, it's all very simple.
Yeah.
Eat right. Be in a calorie deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Work out 3 to 4 times a week. Drink some water and sleep.
It's like what we should be doing.
Yeah. It's super simple, but it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Because of all the stuff that's going on up
there. Yes.
Here.
And then all the distractions.
Yes.
You know, all the distractions that are going, you know, in the world.
Yes.
You know, and boy, I feel like that's a whole nother podcast itself.
Yeah, let's not even go down that road.
Right.
But yeah. But your desires have to be bigger than your distractions.
Yeah.
Like you have to desire, like I look at your shirt, the passion period. But no, obsession.
Exactly.
Like your desire has to be
ridiculous.
Bigger than your distraction. Because when you're obsessed with something, it doesn't matter what is coming at you from the left or the right. You can only see what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just build systems to be barriers and that allows you to keep on keeping on the direction that you're going in. That's what obsession does.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I've ever been obsessed with anything in that way, but I'm looking forward to the day.
Yeah, we were kind of talking a little bit before and how you said to me like I was telling you how, you know, right before we came on, and I was like, once I realized I want to do the podcast thing, I said it's been in the works for a while for me to leave there and take this and do this and go make the jump and leap and do this full time, whatever. And you're like, you said to me, you're like, yeah, man, like, because I told you, I'm like, there was probably a lot of people a lot of people didn't know this, that this was going to happen, but I said the handwriting was probably on the wall. A lot of people can probably see it based on you. They see how much I was doing here and how much it was growing. And you said it yourself. You're like, yeah, man. Like you were like a whole nother person. It was like, you know, at first it started off just like a little fun hobby, which wasn't just like kind of like I said when I explained it before. And then like you said, you're like, and then you just took it to another level.
You took it to another level.
And then you're like, dude, this guy's serious.
Yeah, this guy's serious. And then like I was saying,
that's where the obsession.
Yeah, I was joking because I was saying like, you know, there was a point in time where I thought I could be on your podcast. And then I saw the evolution of it. I'm like, that time has passed. You know, he's moved on to bigger and better guests.
You're here now.
But I'm here now.
I really believe though, it's funny you say that, like, there's been a lot of guests that either have said something similar to what you just said, but I think it was meant for you to come on today.
Not
any other day. Like, even though, like, you might have thought that. And, you know, like I told you before, like, you know, a lot of times when you pop up in my feed, I'm like, damn it, I just got to reach out to that guy and just get him on here. And like, it's just one of those things that you just, again, just week.
Life.
I'm like, oh, next week. Oh, next week.
There's
next
always
week.
Next week.
Right. You know, and you know, here we are a couple hundred episodes later. And, but again, I really believe like the way that everything comes together, it's meant to happen. Like there's a plan.
Yeah, there's a plan.
And you weren't, and the thing is, I think you weren't meant to come on it back then when you thought that.
No, because
you
weren't meant to. I actually hadn't gone through some of the things that I had recently gone through the last 2 years of my life. 1 to 2 years of my life actually, you know, have been incredibly challenging, and I've learned a lot through that those experiences and that time frame. So I wouldn't have had I wouldn't have had the things to
talk
say
about.
Then
yeah.
that
yeah.
I have to say now. So right. it wouldn't have happened.
Those experiences didn't exist yet,
right? And I'm looking at like this 1-2 punch. Like what I would say is, like when I'm listening to you and then hearing myself talk. If I was in a room full of young people, I would tell them, don't be me. And what I mean by that is, like, you said, I'm out of here. Yeah, I can't do this. I'm going to do that. This is the life I want, right? That bravery, that courage, I didn't have it, right? So, because I was taught different. I was taught, grow up, go to school, get an education, get a good job, stay there forever, have the 2.3 kids, the 3 dogs, and the whatever, right? And so I fell into that. And like I said, most people do. And I was dying on the inside, right?
Because that soul crushing,
even though it all looked good on paper. But I would tell people, listen, dream big like Bill. You know, don't settle for less like me. You know, like, that's what I would like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't be me. Mm-hmm. I want to be. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Right? No, you don't.
Yeah. And I think also, too, like along those same lines, and speaking of like obsession and dreaming big and all that, like, I really honestly feel like sometimes you have to have like these ridiculous outlandish goals, which I know some people be like, oh, but then you're setting yourself up for failure. But I think I'm different. I'm wired different. And I feel like you're the same way based on this conversation. Now, I obviously have learned a lot more about you than I ever knew. But I oftentimes set myself these really ridiculously big goals because I have to, because if I don't do that, kind of like you said it before, like if you don't have something huge to reach for, it's just like, screw it. Screw it. I'll just settle.
What's on Netflix?
Yeah. And it's like, and again, like, I feel like I have to have the big projects. I have to always have them.
How old are you? Do you mind me asking?
I'm 35.
Okay. So 35, I'm 48 years old. So you're at this great stage, like this sweet spot stage in your life. Like you're not 20 something and like, you know, where the immaturity stuff is still there, and you're not 40 something where you feel like, oh man, it's all passed me by.
Right.
Like you're in this sweet spot of like, where can I go next?
Right.
So what I'm trying to do is go like, as a 48 year old, get to where you are. Like, where can I go next? How big could I dream?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, to your point, outlandish goals. Like, I want to speak on the biggest stages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You should have those
goals. I want to speak in front of 10 and 15 and 20,000, you know, people. I want to build a successful coaching program. I want it to be online. I want to help hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or whatever, you know, people, 40 plus year old men like me, feel better, and then by doing better because they are better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's.
And they have that potential.
And they have that potential because everyone does.
Everyone does.
Right.
Everyone
does. So, like, that's what I want to do. And so I'm dreaming big at 48, but, you know, then I get this whisper in my ear, like,
you're 48. Yeah. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. Right. Right.
But you just got to not listen. But that's why I like to be around people like you.
Same.
And be in these environments to where I could get inspired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And say, nah, this, it doesn't matter. This could happen.
Yeah.
Well, what do people think about you? They think about, because like, I don't know if it's just me or my perception, but I always feel like people are thinking I'm weird. Like if I have a goal to be like this, you know, big time, you know, professional speaker, preacher who stands on stages of all kinds in front of thousands of people. Like, I feel like people around me are going to be like,
he's weird.
What a goof. Like, come on, dude. Just go to work.
Right. Like, I think people probably still think I'm a goof.
Yeah, just kidding.
Which is like my favorite part, actually, of all of it.
Well, good for them.
I embrace it.
If that's what they think, right?
Yeah, because I think no matter where you're at in life, even once you get to that stage, guess what? People are still going to think
still
you're
right. You're right. That's a great point. Yeah, you're right. They are.
Yeah.
So why don't you just be you?
Yeah. That's it, man. Like, and I think really, too, that's the other thing. And really reaching your full potential and you know, finding your purpose and really do being you. You know what I mean? I think it takes that courage to just be like, you know what? I don't
care.
Who cares? And once you finally like sort of reach that point and start like expressing that and showing people that, then like the light bulb just goes off. And it's really hard to explain unless you've already sort of been there. But again, it just gets to a point where you just, again,
don't care anymore.
Yeah, you just don't care. You're just like, no, like this is me. And then once you do that, then man, the people just, your people then flock to you.
Yeah. I'm like in the process of what I would say getting there. Not quite left it all behind yet, but getting there. And I, you know, Gary Vee, Gary Vee comes to mind because that's what he preaches. Who 100%. Cares what other people
think?
They're gonna
think it no matter what.
Think it no matter what. Just do you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. This was great, man. This was like, you know, I feel like I'm ready to like run through that wall behind me.
Yeah.
Now.
No,
like,
I feel good.
Man. I'm all fired up.
I feel good. This has been like, again, therapy, dude. I got some stuff off my chest. You were able to facilitate a great conversation, man. You inspire me, dude.
Yeah, likewise, man.
Like, honestly.
And that's the thing, dude. I think, like, you know, you may not realize it, but, you know, again, like I told you before, like I've been seeing more of your posts pop up and, you know, you're encouraging other people to do, you know, things that you're doing. And, like, it's inspiring to me. You know, like you may say to me, like, hey, you inspire me, but, like, it goes both ways.
It does. Iron sharpens iron.
100%.
You know, iron sharpens iron, man. So as long as you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, we can just grind up together and make each other sharper tools to be used for the good in this world.
Yeah. So if anyone is interested in, you know, working with you, you know, whatever it is, you know, obviously you have the fitness, the faith, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like if somebody wants to reach out to you, like where do they need to go?
It all comes together on Instagram right now. So it's at the Sean Walker, and Sean is S-H-A-W-N. Working on things like a website and so on, but I've just I haven't niched down to the point where like I don't know what a website actually looks like.
Yeah,
so I try to capture everything right now on Instagram and Facebook for the old heads.
Yeah, I guess I'm an old head too because I'm still the Facebook crew. You know,
just DM me, DM me, and that seems to work. That seems to work pretty well.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, man, this is exciting, I'm looking forward to seeing you grow. And, you know, if there's anything I could ever do to, you know, help you in any way, obviously, you know.
I know where to find you.
I'm here, man.
Thank you, sir.
So,
appreciate
you. All right. Sean Walker on the Stacks in the MPP studio. Thanks for joining me.
Peace. God bless.
Boom. If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.